WGFX FM, Gallatin, Nashville. 104.5 The Zone.
A Cumulus station.
104.5 The Zone.
Your zone forecast.
Brought to you by Hiller, where Happy Face Club members get 3 tune-ups at their house for just $99 each year. Call Hiller or go to happyhiller.com today.
Call a Happy Face truck today.
Good Saturday. I'm News Channel 5 meteorologist Kelly Cox. Look for scattered showers and thunderstorms across the area today. We'll see best chances in our northern and western counties, lower chances to the south. In Nashville, about a 50% rain chance. High of 80 degrees today. Tonight down to 63 with showers ending. Then for Mother's Day, only about a 20% chance of rain with a high of 84.
The Sports Station with Frank Wycheck on your drive to work and Sports News 24/7 at 104.5 The Zone.
It's the 65th annual Franklin Rodeo, May 15th, 16th, and 17th, with bull riding, bronco busting, and more. The kids will love the mechanical bull, running wild in the calf scramble, mutton busting, and pony rides. Rodeo Week kicks off officially Saturday, May 10th, with the rodeo parade through historic downtown Franklin. Performances nightly at 7:30, with the Cowboy Cafe opening at 5:30. And as always, shopping opportunities galore. Every year's a sellout, so get your tickets now at franklinrodeo.com. Sponsored by the Ram Rodeo Series.
104.5 The Zone.
Getting you set for a weekend of sports with former UT coach Doug Matthews.
This is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
The Zone.
We have one more hour of talking college football. Well, we talk all type of college sports. Well, not all type. Football, basketball. We spend a lot of time on football here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the year. It's Forklift Systems, online at forkliftsystems.com. Tony Barnhart on with us one more segment, and we're going to get right to some phone calls for Tony. Alan in Murfreesboro. Alan, how are you today?
Hey, good, great. Hey, love your show, Coach. I listen every Saturday, and let me preface my question with you two guys. I think I have some of the utmost respect for loving and knowing and being unbiased college football and being honest about it. So I know you have a soft spot in your heart for the SEC, but let me ask this. What bias do you think there is going to be out there against the SEC for sticking with the eight-game schedule? You know, especially with the track record and with the amount of talent going to the NFL and the coaches and everything, do you think there's going to be a great deal of animosity against them, especially if they do get two teams in the playoff when other conferences are playing nine-game schedules? Just want to hear your opinion.
Tony?
My reaction would be, yeah, but so what? I mean, I don't know that the bias exists, but if it does, there's really nothing you can do about it. You're not gonna play less hard. You're not gonna do anything different than what you're doing. If people choose to have some sort of bias against you because you're playing eight games instead, it really only matters what the selection committee thinks. And I know most of the people on the selection committee, and those people are not. It's not a bias. Now they will evaluate the strength of schedule based on who you play, but I don't think it's based on bias. So again, I don't think it's an issue. I really don't.
Well, let's think of it like this, and I talked a little bit about this last week, but I really looked into this pretty heavily when the Pac-12 in particular, some of their coaches were making comments. When coaches make comments in the off season about things other than their program, I normally just ignore it, but this I really wanted to look into. But let's just think about this. Let's put ourselves on that committee, all right? And I'm doing this with the assumption everybody has some type of team they pull for. I mean, you know, let's just take one of the who I there's not a coach or really a person that I respect any more than some of the guys that are on this selection committee. You know, let's take Archie Manning. All right. Archie Manning is a respected guy. Is he an SEC guy? Yeah, he's an SEC guy. Is that going to keep him from being objective when he gets into this? Tom Osborne.
Yeah.
Tom Osborne has actually been in three different conferences. Okay. He was in the old Big Eight. He was in the the Big 12. And then, of course, he was the athletic director that moved Nebraska into the Big 10. So, but here's the thing. Don't you think, Tony, and I'm talking to the folks out there too, Don't you think that if you're on this selection committee and your job is to get the best four teams, you just hit the big key. What's the big key? Strength of schedule. And here's the question. Here's what I asked last week. Let's just take Alabama versus Stanford. All right. If Alabama's ninth game is Kentucky, all right, if they schedule Kentucky for that ninth game, and would their strength of schedule be higher? Would it be higher if they played, let's say, West Virginia or Virginia Tech or Clemson or Florida State? Very apparent. So the thing that I didn't understand about that whole nine-game schedule, it's still going to get down to strength of schedule. If you play 10 really good football teams, I think the committee's going to look at that and say, you know what? Their strength of schedule was excellent. If they have one loss and Team B has one loss, I don't care if you play 12. If the Pac-12 would play all 12 of their games, conference games, it's still going to be strength of schedule. And listen, Utah right now does not stack up anywhere, and does not stack up anywhere with some of the better teams that other schools schedule for their non-conference games. And they're going to look at the non-conference schedule, I'd have to believe.
Well, Doug, and the thing about it is that, as a friend of mine said, you know, everybody is from somewhere, okay? And this feeling about these people have bias and all that, I mean, they're human beings. But at the end of the day, you get the right kind of people doing this stuff, and then you don't. I just don't think you have to. I just don't think that's an issue. I really don't.
I don't either. And going forward, we're going to have time to see on that. And again, the thing that the conference did was, remember this: the thing Southeast Conference did, all they didn't say that. You know, they just set this for the next few years. If they see that not playing nine games is hurting their strength of schedule, is hurting them getting a second team or at times even a first team in, then you can bet they're going to go to nine games. I mean, that's just common sense.
Here's the classic example, Doug. Last year, let's look at the end of last year. On the last BCS standings, Florida State was number one, Auburn was number two, Alabama, which didn't play in the SEC championship game and lost late at Auburn, was number three, all right? And Michigan State was number four. Now, what if the selection committee went in there and didn't take Alabama because they didn't play a nine-game schedule, they didn't play in the conference championship, and they took, say, Baylor with one loss, okay? Now, if you're the SEC, we got to look at it. But I think we all can agree that if the selection committee had been in place last year, I mean, I believe they would have put two teams in from the SEC. I think they would have put Alabama in because Alabama had been number one all year. They lost with 1 second to go at Auburn. And I just think Alabama would have gotten in. But if Alabama had not gotten in, that would cause the SEC, well, let's rethink this thing. It's not about getting the first team in. They feel confident about that. It's about getting the second team in.
Let's head up to Mount Juliet. Rich joins us. Rich, how are you today?
Great, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. I've got a question / concerns regarding UT recruiting. I see in the past few weeks we've had one defensive player decommit. I think he was from the west side of Tennessee. We've had a couple of players transfer from both sides of the ball. And with our defense side seemed to be a little bit weaker than what we all would like them to be. And I haven't seen a whole lot of recruiting or heard of it. Recruiting on the defensive side of the ball, players coming in. Can you give me an update as to what's going on there? And maybe there's some things that's going on I'm just not aware of, but it seems awful quiet to me this time of year, and particularly the way a few of the other teams around the country are recruiting.
Rich,
I'll just hang up the
Rich, Rich, before you hang up, let me make sure you're talking football, right? Not basketball.
Football, yes.
Yeah, okay,
football.
Good. Let me just hit that real quickly. First off, what's kind of taken place the last few years is young men are being recruited more quickly. They're committing more quickly. With that always comes where you're going to have, if 100 players commit, I'm going to say probably 20% of them are going to decommit at some point because either a coach leaves or they don't have a good year, the school they're going to, or maybe a school that had not been recruiting them steps in a little bit later. So you're always going to have that. But remember this too. I don't know the exact number that schools are offering. I'm going to say that most of the universities in this conference have offered well in excess of 150 young men scholarships already. They can only sign 25. So, you know, it's a numbers game. You're recruiting, you want to sign one quarterback, you're recruiting 15, you offer 15. If maybe the 15th wants to come early, you might slow play that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of ways of doing that. I wouldn't be concerned at all right now, particularly at Tennessee, but really anywhere right now, because they're in on good players. And remember, everybody in this league now, except Coach Mason, everybody has they've been there for a year. They got their recruiting in place. They know where they want to go, and they want to know who they want to go after. So, anyway.
Well, and the other thing you got to factor about players leaving. One thing you do have to factor in is that if things are going the way they're supposed to, you're bringing in more talented players. And as those players come in, other guys see their opportunities dwindling and decide to leave.
Well, and a lot of that's by design by both parties, quite frankly.
Yep.
You're going to have, particularly if it's a skill position and particularly quarterback. Unfortunately, you only play one quarterback most of the time. You might play a couple of different running backs. You may play seven or eight wide receivers, but normally you only play one quarterback. And a lot of that is, too, that the head coach sits down with that family and they talk it through. And usually it's a deal where both of them want to leave. Very rarely do you see a player leave that the university doesn't want to keep, again, unless
right.
There's a coaching change on that. Jose up in Clarksville. Jose, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Fine.
Great.
Thank you for taking my call. Let's get real, guys, on this selection committee for the NCAA football tournament. It's not going to be good. I don't think it's going to be good at all. You're always going to have somebody, well, my team deserves to be in there, and it's always they're going to take so much heat for the first 2 years.
Yep.
Why not settle all of the argument? Take the top eight or even the top ten, regardless what their schedule is, where they are ranked, and let them fight it out.
Good question. Tony?
Yeah, I think the short answer on the top eight or the top ten is they don't the powers that be don't want eight teams. They're convinced that eight is not the right. Again, this is a balancing act between the postseason and the regular season. Okay, and when you talk to any athletic director, the thought of an eight team playoff scares them to death from the attendance standpoint, because one of the things that makes college football successful has been the fact that one loss could conceivably knock you out. And so I'm not saying we're never going to go to eight games, but when you talk to the people in power right now, they have no interest in an eight-game schedule. And they don't, you know, it's all about the postseason, and they're scared to death that college football could become like basketball, where it's a postseason sport, and they don't want to devalue the regular season. So I think that's what's – and talk about the criticism – there's going to be tremendous amounts of criticism. There will be more criticism than there was in the BCS. Why? Because if you got four teams, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, all think they're as good as four, Doug. And whereas when you had 1 and 2, there was only one or two teams that thought they were as good as two. So that there's going to be more controversy, not less.
Tony,
there's no doubt about that.
But that's why I think you look at the makeup of this committee, all right? I think that Condoleezza Rice has probably been under a little bit more scrutiny as Secretary of State than she'll be in under this thing.
Yeah, I think she can handle the pressure.
I think Tom Osborne, I think the Archie Mannings, I think the guy who headed up the Air Force Academy, where you're training young men and women to essentially go fight, and you know someone's going to die for the country. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal, because I think these people. I think they did. I don't know all the people they picked. I probably know half of them somewhat, or at least their backgrounds. I think this is a great group. There's going to be controversy, but and one thing Tony said, Jose, that I want to echo. Here's the deal, and I think most people that really have been involved in this game a long time, and certainly the ones currently now, the last thing college football wants is for their regular season to become what college basketball has become. Now,
yep.
The March Madness is tremendous, but let's face it, for most of those top schools, it doesn't make any difference. As long as you get, as long as you win a half your conference games or a few more, you're going to get in the tournament. Now, every weekend, 12 weekends out of the year, games matter. It matters if Florida beats Georgia. And it also matters if Florida beats Kentucky. It matters if Texas A&M beats Arkansas. It matters if Texas A&M loses to LSU. So that's the thing that college football is trying to maintain. And then the other part of it is, and I talked a little bit about this last week, quite frankly, I get, people are going to complain about everything. There are people in this town right now that do sports talk radio that beat the drum for years for a playoff system. And the first day after four was named, they started complaining about there's only four teams in there.
That's exactly right.
And so, Tony, I know you got to run. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you later, okay?
All right, Doug, thanks.
All right. Before we go to break here, Tony had to leave it. Let me get Auburn Boy had a question here, and then we'll take our break. Auburn Boy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I have a question for you, Mr. Doug.
Yeah.
Do you think Trey Mason now regrets going into the draft and not staying for his last year? I've always kind of wondered about some of these athletes that come out and they've had a great year, but then all of a sudden they just don't get drafted like they think they're going to get drafted. Have a good one. Have a good Mother's Day.
You bet. I think for a period of time that might be true, but I think all these young men now, or most of them, take a real good look at where, is Auburn going to have, is he going to leave on a higher note than he could have left out this year? Probably not. Could he have come back and had an excellent year? Yes. I think, and maybe improved his stock. The thing with running backs now is, if you notice, the second year in a row, there wasn't a running back taken in the first round again. So I think that probably played a part of it into it. I'm going to have somebody on here in the next segment. We're going to get into that and talk about what a head coach tells a young man that's thinking about leaving if that head coach doesn't truly believe it's good for him. We'll talk about that when we come back. Quick break. We're right back on Forklift System Sports Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the week. By the way, Tony Barnhart brought to you by Tennessee Steel Haulers, iDriveTSH.com, and Stroud's Barbecue. Get ready to smoke it, strip it, and ship it from Stroud's Barbecue at StroudsBarbecue.com.
This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday.
From 104.5, The Zone.
Monday morning, kick off your week with Mark, Frank, and Kevin. The Wake Up Zone begins at 6.
Normally, Hunter McCarty joins us live and talks about some of the behind-the-scenes things that his fine company, R.J. Young, does. Let me talk to you. He's out of town today. Let me talk to you a little bit about something that kind of an award, not kind of, it is an award, that R.J. Young got, but it kind of tells you about where their company is. They are now in the top 10% of Canon dealers being selected for a program that's called their Advanced Partner Program. And what that features is, from Canon, priority training on all new products before other dealers get them, first response from the Canon hotline when R.J. Young's technicians call for assistance, access to the Canon company store for customers to purchase Canon cameras, and then customer VIP trips for Canon-sponsored sporting events. Again, this is an excellent offer. 300 dealers, Canon dealers in the United States. Of course, Canon, one of the names when it comes to technology in that business. The top 10%? Well, R.J. Young is right there with them. R.J. Young and Company. Hunter will be back on next week. We'll be talking more about the company that always makes it right, R.J. Young.
73 degrees and I'm loving it.
71 degrees, please.
When it comes to keeping your home cool this summer, what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with a new Rheem AC system that'll keep you cool, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort this summer.
72 degrees and I'm good to go.
Get professional service on all brands of equipment. Call company name, your local Rheem contractor, at 444-4444 today.
Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Mid-10 Ford has more than pickup trucks, crossovers and SUVs like the Ford Edge, Expedition, and Flex, and the new Explorer and Escape. Mid-10 Ford has them all, plus the legendary F-150 pickup, as well as Ford's Transit van and Super Duties. No hype or high pressure in over 50 years of servicing customers in Middle Tennessee. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. Mid-10 Ford, your BPN Ford heavy-duty truck dealer. Find them at mid10fordtrucks.com.
Hi, this is Coach Jeff Fisher. I certainly have a lot to look forward to this year, and one of those things is the development of The Grove, a private, gated community just outside of downtown Franklin and Cool Springs. You probably already heard that The Grove is going to feature a Greg Norman signature golf course, but it's only part of the overall amenities and lifestyle. To find out more, call 368-3044 or go to groveliving.com. See at The Grove, where country living meets club lifestyle.
Let me talk to you just a second about Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Now, over the years on this show, a sports show, we've been talking a lot about Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries and the fine recliners like the Legends, the Spectator, the XR Power in those recliners now that can really give you all the comfort that you need to watch any of the games that are on TV. Well, two locations, of course, Vietnam Vets Boulevard and Cool Springs Boulevard. Up south and up in the northeast. But another good product that they have coming out now, the Urban Attitudes by Lazy Boy, that Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries are featuring right now. It's a new collection of, well, premium sofas, chairs, and accents that really is kind of designed for maybe smaller homes or even condo living. Now, Always Lazy Boy Furniture has the great recliners. And again, as we get into football season and basketball season where you're sitting watching a lot of games, the Legends and the Spectator, just a couple of those. But Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, again, stop by and ask them about that new Urban Attitudes. Northeast, up off Vietnam Vets Boulevard, that's Exit 6 right next to Glenbrook Shopping Center. And, of course, down south in the Cool Springs Boulevard area, off Cool Springs Boulevard, right next to Bonefish, that is Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries.
Whether your sport is football, hockey, basketball, baseball, golf, or racing, we talk about it here. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
24 past the hour is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Your big lift each and every day of the week is Forklift Systems. Again, I mentioned that rental business for Forklift Systems going through the roof. You know, a lot of companies right now, they kind of seeing where the economy is going, not willing to invest in a new forklift. Well, Forklift Systems can handle that, not only forklifts, but industrial vehicles, aerial equipment, lots of other things, all at Forklift Systems. Birmingham and Huntsville, and of course, the big dog right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Speaking of big dogs, let's head up to Knoxville, Tennessee, talk to the former head coach at the University of Tennessee, my old roommate, Philip Fulmer. Philip, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. That was a pretty good segue there from one big dog.
Well, you are the big dog. You always have been. I used to wear you out and pick up basketball, but that's a horse of it.
We'll get all that squared away. No, that's not true, but we had some great games. You actually could kick a basketball further than anybody I've ever seen.
Well, Cafago worked with me on that. I had my form down pretty good on that.
Not that you had any kind of temper at all.
Got a couple of things I want to talk to Philip about today. Philip, I want to start with it. I know a lot of people keep up with you over here. Had your second knee replacement. And of course I saw you this past week, man, looking great. Give us kind of an update on where you are right now.
Yeah, it's going very well. I had the first one in December, and about 5 weeks we were released. The trainers at the University of Tennessee did a great job getting me back on track. And I had my second one, 11 days ago now. And, we're up and at, I'm not off crutches quite yet, but I'm glad I did it. You know, a lot of football, a lot of racquetball, a lot of pickup basketball games. You're probably part of the reason I had to have these darn knee replacements, but I'm glad I did it, and we are doing well. KOC is great. They did a great job, and I've worked really hard to get back where I want to be.
So. Rehabilitating it there at the athletic department, I know, at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right, have Philip on for a couple of reasons. We got a little announcement we're going to make later in the show. But, Philip, a great time to have somebody on who is right in the middle of all this draft going on right now. I want to get into a couple of different areas for you. I just had a call a little while ago about an Auburn fan asking about Trey Mason and whether he should leave or not. You as head coach, and you had the opportunity, you had a lot of guys go drafted the first round all the way up. Simply as you can, what was your conversation with a young man that was eligible, had been there 3 years, thinking about leaving, A, for for one that you knew had a great opportunity to play and one that you weren't quite sure about. How did you handle that?
Well, you know, what you just mentioned are the keys. One, you hated to see them go about the time they're ready to be the best for your team that they could possibly be. You know, if they're good enough, they're starting to look at pro football. My approach with them was, look, if we know that we're going to be a first rounder and it looks like there's nothing out there that's going to surprise you, then it's hard to say, hey, stay here for room, books, board, tuition and for the football program and the fans, because, you know, in the end they have a chance to make a great living for a little while, you know, playing pro football. So if they were going to be a first rounder, then, you know, I would talk to them about staying, but also know that probably realistically might be the best thing for them. And so they weren't assured of being a first round guy, and we saw places where they could improve, and they had an opportunity to really, you know, hopefully stay healthy and improve themselves and be one of those first rounders. Because there's a lot of difference in the first 15 picks of the draft and somebody that's middle of the second round. A lot of difference in the money and a lot of difference in the prestige. And so I would encourage them, if they weren't going to be a first rounder, to stay.
Philip, we get asked this a lot. I do not know the answer. You would. Would you say, all right, and I'm going to use some people that you had up there to kind of point this out. A Peyton Manning with the family background that he had, is a lot different from maybe a young man who did not have that family background. Where did you see, what was the biggest, I don't want to say problem, but as a young man was thinking of going, what were the influences that would concern you as a head coach that were talking to a young man who maybe didn't have the family background that Peyton had?
Well, you're right. Peyton had great guidance at home, and I think we also advised him well, but he could find out all the information and the facts for himself, you know, through his dad and through his family contacts. Unfortunately, there are a lot of unscrupulous people out there that prey on these guys when they come to college, or, you know, maybe even before, and certainly after they get to college in their sophomore year, they look like they're going to be outstanding prospects, and all of a sudden you've got guys that show up out of nowhere that want to befriend them, and they give them sometimes terrible advice about, you know, leaving early and telling them where they might be in the draft when you know, we're sitting here talking to the head coaches and talking to the general manager ourselves, and they're telling us something different than what the players are hearing from somebody outside. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of that, but it's prevalent out there in many cases, and where guys just get bad advice. And then there's the pressures from home. You know, sometimes mom and dad, their whole career, whole life, they thought, well, this is going to be our ticket. When you get, and the kid's been hearing that since he picked up a ball. You know, you're going to be able to take us and get us, you know, we won't be poor anymore. You're going to take care of the family. And then all kinds of other people that surround young people sometime, the posse attitude, it's really tough on those young guys to manage all of that.
Flip side, of course, I would think for a program like yours, as you had at Tennessee, was as you are recruiting and you have a lot of players going out early, or at least some going out early each year, I would think that would have to help recruiting. And then the other part of it is these guys, the guys you're talking to, know or find out pretty quickly if you're a coach who tries to help players leave early or kind of goes the other way some, I would think.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, most of them want to try to have an opportunity to play pro football. And if you have a track record, we had a tremendous track record of putting guys in the NFL, then absolutely they're more interested in, you know, being a part of your program, and particularly if they're getting out as juniors. And, you know, we had so many big name players that were first and second rounders and, you know, all American teams and so on and so forth. It does help recruiting in one sense. You lose great players, I'd rather keep them, but in another sense, you know, it gives you an opportunity to recruit other players.
Philip, the type of players that are recruited by the top schools now, and certainly the top schools in the Southeastern Conference, you were right in the middle of all of that. As you recruit players, I know back when we were assistants together, it was pretty common. There were very few players, quite honestly, we did not redshirt. Some of the best Tennessee's ever had redshirted. That changed though, when you can leave after 3 years. Not near as many redshirts. How did you handle that when you sat down and made the decision on whether to redshirt? Now, if it was an injury, that would be one thing. Was that one of the factors that you looked at? Hey, this guy is probably not going to be here more than 3 years. We might as well get.
Absolutely. You look at, obviously their ability and their opportunity to play and how much they're going to play. But even a youngster that you thought, well, it's just a little bit of development time. He's not ready right now. He may not play a ton, but he can help us on special teams. And just the fact that he's going to be out playing and practicing is going to improve his skills. I think he's a three-year guy. And
Jamal Lewis would be an example.
Yeah, Jamal's a perfect example of I mean, we had good backs here, but as it turned out, he was the best back on the team after he got to play and learned the system a little bit. He was going to be one of the, what was it, the sixth player picked, I think. So no reason to redshirt him, and we got him in the mix, really, really quickly.
Philip, let me ask about a couple of other things, and then I want to get into another subject we're going to talk about today. But give me your thoughts. You were at Tennessee as a player or a coach, I think 32 years, I believe. When you were looking at what the conference was talking about here, about A, keeping the Alabama game, and B, 8 over 9 games. Let's start first. What was your feeling on the Alabama game from two ways? You got a perspective nobody else has, there's one other guy has. One, someone who played in the game and coached against it and knows the meaning to Tennessee of the third week in October. And then secondly, though, a head football coach who, as you're looking and wanting to win championships, realize that there's some other teams that you don't play in that other division that maybe you'd have a little bit better chance of beating most years. How did you look at the Alabama game from both those viewpoints?
Yeah, well it's 36 years total that I was a part of that series. And, from a player and a fan standpoint, I just think it's a fabulous rivalry, and it's one that Tennessee loves, and the Tennessee people and Alabama people, love being a part of. And it's one of those national games that everybody for years and years and years have kept up with. And there's been so many great games and great players and memorable moments that you just don't want to lose that. As an assistant coach, I even looked at it that way. As a head coach, and I had a good record against Alabama, but as a head coach, it was one of those things, and particularly now if they're going to 9 conference games, you have that real struggle is why do I have to play Alabama out of my league every year? And some of my competitors, even in the same division, may not have to play somebody as good as that. They might be in Arkansas or Kentucky or those kind of things year in and year out. It makes it more difficult on the head coach, to be honest with you, if they go to 9 games, and which they are going to do. So it's.
You think eventually that'll happen?
I do. I think the conference will make that happen, and it's just too much money, and really to have a real national championship in this playoff system. You're going to have to play 9.
Yeah, strength of schedule is going to be so much more important there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk with Philip about a little thing that's going to be coming up here. So stay right here with us. We'll be right back on Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Your big lift each and every day of the week is Forklift Systems.
Your football weekend begins here.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday.
From the Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Sometime between the beginning of this commercial and the end of it, someone's probably getting busted for drunk driving. Because America averages another DUI arrest every 20 seconds or so. And I've already talked for 14 seconds. So, see any flashing lights? Listen, more drunk drivers are getting caught every day. If you don't want to join them, choose the back seat, not the driver's seat. Booze it and lose it. Paid for by the Governor's Highway Safety Office.
Ask anyone you know, and they'll tell you the best service department in Nashville is Beeman. Beeman has been setting the standard for mechanical repair for many years. Don't forget, we'll service most makes and models. With our express maintenance process, we'll have your vehicle serviced in just minutes at a price you can afford. Beeman Toyota Buick GMC, downtown on Broadway. For an appointment, call 251-8400.
When you see the happy face on our truck, you'll be confident your drain will be unstuck.
Get your air conditioning unit tuned up before summer. For just $99, Hiller checks out your air conditioning system and, this fall, your heating system. Plus, you get a complete plumbing tune-up. Have the Happy Face truck sent to your house today. Call or go to happyhiller.com.
Call a Happy Face truck today.
Students, when I call the reason for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Too tired? Family trip? Sick day? Starting the holidays early.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
All right, let's get right to Brad with Dickens Turf and Landscape. Got a second thought from him today. Brad, what you got for us this hour?
Hey, Coach, you know what? The weather we've had through this week, now we're getting some rain. You know, irrigation, having sprinklers out there in the yard is a great thing to have, and the grass always going to need a little bit of water, but nothing does the job like rainwater does. And with the warm temperatures, the soil temperatures are warming up. It's perfect growing conditions right now, but the summer is right around the corner. We got several issues going on right now. Number one, on your cool season grasses like fescue bluegrass mixes, it's time to get that second pre-emerge application out. Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply has a specially formulated blend for this time of year with that pre-emerge. As we're going into the summer, you need to come by and see us, get that application out, and we can step you through what you need to do through the summer, Coach, because a lot of times people on cool season grass make that May application, don't do anything else until the fall, and a lot of times that will contribute to the summer decline as much, if not more, than the hot and dry weather. So you need to be paying attention to that. On the warm season side of things, a little bit of winter kill out there, a little bit of zoysia grass and Bermuda grass is just not going to come back. Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply has got a plan to help you patch that up. If you've got a Bermuda grass lawn, maybe you manage a sports turf field. If you're a commercial landscape guy, you may have somebody with warm season grass out there. We can help you take some steps to help get those areas taken back care of, whether it's through seeds, sprigs, get you on a fertility program. Time to plant those summer annual flowers. We got your soil amendments, your fertilizer, everything for that summer color. Come by and see us, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. We're your one-stop shop for everything lawn and landscape. Easy to find in Cool Springs, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Hendersonville, coming soon to Bellevue, open in Knoxville at Dickens Turf on Twitter. We have a Facebook page, and as always, Coach, you can check us out online at dickenssupply.com.
1045thezone.com, the one-stop spot for everything you need in the sports world. Get the latest local news on the Titans and Vols. Plus, the latest national headlines are just a click away. Find out when your favorite shows will air. Read the latest tweets on the Zone crew. And win great prizes that we never even tell you about on the air. Best of all, you can listen live to any show that's on the Zone and listen to podcasts of the interviews you missed. Check it out. 1045thezone.com.
41 past the hour is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the week. Forklift Systems Coach Philip Fulmer from up in Knoxville with us. So he's been talking a little bit about some of the things going on with the draft, how he handles things as a head coach. Certainly had a lot of opportunities to talk to young men about coming to be a part of Tennessee and getting drafted, and also whether to stay or not, kind of counseling on that. Philip, you and I have been discussing I don't know, for the last 3 or 4 years about looking at doing something from a media standpoint. We finally got that worked out. Wanted to kind of talk to a little bit about that today. Folks, we're going to be doing this year, Philip and I are going to be doing a syndicated statewide radio show, 1 hour radio show. It's going to start the weekend before the first game. Going to be 16 weeks that will run through the Southeastern Conference Championship game. And Philip, we've been talking about it, going to really try to bring folks into what goes on in a film room, in a staff room, in a meeting room, from after one game's over till the next game's played. And I know you're looking forward to it as I am.
You know, I am looking forward to it, Doug. I look forward to doing it with you, for one thing. That'll be fun. You and I have such a long, great friendship. And also, from a professional standpoint, sat in those meeting rooms hours and hours and hours. So we certainly understand, you know, designing game plans and making adjustments and the recruiting aspect, whatever it might be about football. Probably some people, because, you know, we lived it. And I'm excited about it. I've been asked every year to do it in one way or the other, and did CBS for a couple of years. But I think this view will be a different dimension for people as far as, you know, getting information that's, you know, that's real, coming from coaches that have done it before. So it'll be fun and kind of give me my football fix a little bit. I miss it. I'm from East Tennessee State at times, and I go over to UT and watch practice on occasion and around some. But it'll be fun. To chat and see how the college football system.
Well, what we're going to do on this show, folks, and again, we've been talking about this for a while, is really try to bring you things that very few people talk about because they haven't lived it. As I mentioned, being in meeting rooms, how do you set up a game plan? We're going to look at what we used to call lessons, which after a ball game, you look and see what did we do in this game wrong? What did we do right? What could we help it with? We're going to look at game plans. We're going to talk about breakdowns about, well, let's say it's an Alabama-Tennessee game, not particularly where the matchup is, but anybody can kind of look at those things, but exactly how you get to certain things. Very fast pace, going to be very hard hitting. I think you will enjoy it. We're looking forward to doing it. It will be on in all 95 counties. We have 104.5 The Zone will be our flagship right here. It will be on 104.5 The Zone. We'll be on all over the county, and we're getting those set up right now. And we'll be having ways that you all can interact with us through websites, through other things like that. But anyway, Philip, you know, one of the things, and you and I, again, have discussed this, that a lot of stuff is common sense in a staff room, you know, but essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out A, how to keep from losing a ball game, and B, how to win one. And we had the good fortune to be able to do that for 10 years together.
Yeah, it's the old adage that you've got to avoid losing before you can win is very, very true. But it's also, you know, give and take. Sometimes the offense has to take an aggressive approach to help the defense try to win the ball game. Sometimes the defense feels like, hey, we can hold them to, you know, the 14 points, and if you'll not turn it over on our end and play the kicking game, we can score enough points without having to be that, you know, person, you know, years in a row and won a bunch of ball games. That was so, you know, there's so much with it could be injuries, it could be, you know, it could be home.
All right, Philip, we're having a little trouble there on your cell phone. That's fine. We're about through anyway, so okay. Let's do this. We're going to be talking about this in the future. Going to be called Coach to Coach. It'll start the last week in August, and looking forward to it, buddy. And thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Doug. We'll talk soon.
All right, Philip Haven was on a cell phone, but this is going to be, by the way, I'm really looking forward to doing this for a lot of different reasons. But the primary reason is if you listen to this show, if you listen to Big Orange Sunday, if you read Chalk Talk and the On the Road stuff, what I've really tried to do over the years is provide information and analysis and insight. You know, we're not trying to get anybody fired. Anybody or most anybody, including my little granddaughter, 4-year-old granddaughter, can pick a score of a game and be right or wrong 50% of the time, I think. but it's really trying to provide a lot of information and insight. I think you'll enjoy this. We've talked about this. We'll be providing more information, but it's really going to get into the nuts and bolts to setting up a game plan and sticking with it or not sticking with it. Both of us come from, I was a defensive coordinator when he was the offensive coordinator for a couple of years. And then certainly his experience as a head football coach. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you do. Anyway, we're gonna try it anyway. And again, it'll be statewide. We'll be coming out with a list of stations. 104.5 The Zone here in Nashville will be our flagship station from that standpoint. All right, let's take our last break. Gonna come back and gonna kind of take a look at a little bit of the schedule. We're gonna start looking into this. What a great opening week. Our weekend actually starts on a Thursday. The Southeastern Conference has. Coming into this 2014 season. So stay right here with us. By the way, Philip, when he was on today, was brought to you by England Erosion Seed and Supply. If you're looking for, if you have any type of erosion problem, that is England specialty. If you are a commercial land supplier or a excavating contractor, one-stop shopping for both of those at England Erosion Seed and Supply. Over 50 years combined experience. Got the England boys up there running to England Erosion Seed and Supply at englanderosion.com.
This is Sportland Systems Football Saturday.
From 104.5, The Zone. Stay here to get your sports fix all weekend long.
Let me talk to you about Barry's Jewelry Company of Madison. Of course, we do a yearly show up there, the SEC Championship game every year, that first weekend in December. Well, Herb Berry and the folks up at Berry's Jewelry Company have several things really that they're pushing right now. If you have anything of resale value, anything, they're going to buy it from you. All right. But right now in particular, really have a special interest in gold and silver of any type, coins, jewelry, whatever. And a lot of people, Herb was telling me that a lot of people think that sometimes just because their gold or silver jewelry is really worn down or tattered or looks bad or whatever, that they can't get good money out of it. Not right. They certainly can. And these are folks that have been doing it going on 40 years now, 40th year in business since 1974 from Barry's Jewelry Company. Certainly diamonds and gold and silver jewelry. They sell bridal sets. If you're looking at a vast selection of diamonds, they also will buy your diamonds in addition to gold and silver of any type. They will buy your diamonds of all sizes and quality from, all the way up to $100,000 or more. That's Barry's Jewelry Company of Madison, always online at barrysjewelryco.com.
Tire World has been locally owned and operated by the same people for 30 years. We have experience and know the importance of treating people with honesty, integrity, and trust, just like we want to be treated. Tire World not only sells many brands of tires at an excellent price, but we can align your vehicle, change the oil, brakes, check engine light diagnostic, all things automotive, all under the same roof, and Tire World will perform that with ASE certified technicians. We know the value of time, so if you need a ride to work or home while we perform the work, we'll provide you with a way to get there. We're a full service facility. So come by and let us show you how much we appreciate you coming by. Tire World, South Lowry in Smyrna, Murfreesboro Road in Laverne, or on Memorial Boulevard in Murfreesboro, and Facebook and Twitter, or online at tireworld.us.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
It's where you took your first steps, where you learned to ride a bike. It's where Mom taught you how to cook, and where Dad taught you how to play catch. And no matter where you are in life, it's the place you always call home. It means so much to you. That's why it matters so much to us. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Franklin American Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1599.
For over 35 years, American Home Design has been the leader in sunrooms and screen rooms, replacement windows, bath and shower replacement in Middle Tennessee. Their unmatched exclusive lifetime installation warranty on all of their work allows their customers to know that if American Home Design replaces your windows, updates your bath, or custom designs your sun or screen rooms, American Home Design guarantees that work for as long as you own the home. Family owned and operated, you can reach American Home Design at 615-361-6100 or on the web at AmericanHomeDesign.com. Or better yet, stop by their beautiful showroom at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. By the way, while you're there, make sure you register for their $50,000 home makeover contest. Again, that's 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville.
104.5 The Zone.
Coming up Monday, we recap the entire Titans draft. We discuss all the picks that were made, plus the big NFL headlines coming out of the NFL draft in New York. John Feinstein will join us. Midday 180, noon to 3 weekdays.
52 past the hour. Got about 5 minutes left in the show. This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Well, it's actually Sports Saturday. It's Football Saturday in football season. But, hey, we talk a lot of football. Again, if you are looking to talk football with us, well, we're here every Saturday from 9 to 11. You've heard me talk about the head hog many times, who I call the head hog anyway. It's a term of endearment. I hope he takes it like that. Terry Burns. Terry, of course, with the Burns Insurance Group, been sponsors of this show for many, many years. And Terry, I guess it's you Arkansas guys. I thought you were a lot smarter than to become an owner of a football team.
Well, Coach, don't know. You know, old Jerry Jones, he kind of set an example, so I'm just trying to follow in his footsteps.
Well, I guess he's in Arkansas also. Georgia Fire coming in town, going to be playing the Venom this week, right?
Yes, sir, the Georgia Fire coming into town, the player Nashville Venom. And for those of you who do not know, a partner of mine, Jeff Knight, and I decided to bring arena football back to Nashville. So, in come the Nashville Venom. We're about 25% of the way through our inaugural season. The team right now is currently sitting at 3-1. They're in first place in their division. And if you hadn't been out to see us, you're missing an awful lot of fun.
Terry, a couple of things on this. First off, you've been involved in growing up in Arkansas football all along, and now are one of the owners of the Nashville Venom, as we mentioned, the Georgia Fire coming to town. How many teams in this league right now?
Coach, right now there are 8 teams in our league, and we've got about 6 or 8 more cities that are trying to come in. We are in the Professional Indoor Football League, and it's a league that's kind of involved with the NFL. You know, a lot of the officials and the referees for the NFL have to prove themselves before they kind of take that next step from high school or college officiating. And so the officials in our league are NFL wannabe officials, if you will. That means our players get a lot of film on them because we're filming the officials, grading the officials out, and it's kind of a nice tie-in for us.
You know, looking at the format of the game, almost exactly like arena. If we remember the Cats when they were in town here, but no nets, right? So the crowd's right on top of you.
Yes, sir. We kind of like to say if the football comes into the stands, you get to keep it. If the player comes in, please give him back. And this same Georgia Fire team we're playing tonight. About 2 weeks ago, they had a Friday night game, and one of their players actually made the number one play on ESPN's top 10 for the day, and the video kind of went viral. He stretched out to catch the ball, went over the net, and landed on his feet, and then jumped back in the playing field and handed the ball to the referee. So, pretty neat play.
I saw that. It was a touchdown down the corner of the end zone, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Interesting,
yes, sir.
On that. Terry, how can folks get tickets, website, and all that, and then what time's the game kick this
all
weekend?
Right. Very good. The game kicks tonight at 7:00. You can go to www.nashvillevenom.com and see the roster of the players, the cheerleaders, find out about tickets, all that. Coach, we're playing down at Municipal Auditorium.
Yep.
And there's a lot of free parking down there. It's easy to get in and out of. Some real good food. The doors open at 5:30. We've got a little music. We've got merchandise. We've got things for the kids to do. So, we just encourage everybody to come on down. And that's one of the things my partner Jeff and I really tried to do. We've priced the tickets very, very affordable to try and make it, cost effective for a family of 4 or a family of 5 to come on down. Our game's real kids friendly, and after each one of the games, we kind of open up the field and let the fans come down and meet the players and take pictures, sign autographs, all that. So it's been a lot of fun so far, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody come check us out.
Fear the hiss, right?
Fear the hiss, absolutely. There you go.
Now, you still are the head hog, though, of Middle Tennessee, are you not?
Yes, sir. I hope to hold that title a long, long time. And, yeah, love the Venom being involved with them, but I'm a Razorback at heart.
Terry Burns with the Burns Insurance Group, three locations, of course, and the big dog or the head hog up there in Mount Juliet. Terry, good luck. Thanks so much, and looking forward to after the season getting you on. Talk a little bit more about the Venom.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Have a good weekend,
right,
sir.
Terry Burns with the Burns Insurance Group and part of the Nashville Venom, the arena team here. If you haven't been by to see him, it's down in Municipal, extremely affordable to get in there. I think, what did he say, 7 o'clock tonight, I think, on that. All right, well, I was going to get into some scheduling stuff looking at that, but we are about out of time here. Got about a minute left in the show. Jimmy Harper, of course, always does a great job producing the show. Jimmy, how many years you been with me, Jimmy?
Eight, I think.
Eight, yeah. Seems like 56 dog years, right?
Yeah, something like that.
NASCAR tonight in Kansas. Jimmy, a big NASCAR, Dale Jr. Kansas, right? Tonight, right?
Kansas tonight.
What is that? What's the length of that track?
Oh, you got me. I don't know exactly.
I think it's a mile and a quarter, I believe. Anyway, all right. Hey, this isn't a NASCAR show. We'll talk about that later on. Thanks for being part of the show today. Tony Barnhart, of course, Philip Fulmer. Again, Coach to Coach will be coming to you in August. We'll be talking more about that. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Your big lift each and every day of the week is Forklift Systems.